Antaranga Chit Shakti Tatasta Jiva Shakti Bahiranga Maya Tine Kore Prema Bhakti. That table is...
Yes, sir.
Is that used for Tulsi or something?
No, this is for Tulsi.
Okay. Could I have that table? Yes. This book is way down here. It's a little too high, but it's... At least where I can see it.
The stand we can make smaller.
Let's see. Actually, the stand we can do without.
Yeah.
Or you can put it there. Just about perfect. Antaranga chit shakti tasta jiva shakti bahiranga maya tine kore prema bhakti. The spiritual potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead also appears in three phases: internal, marginal, and external. These are all engaged in devotional service, in his devotional service, in love. Purport: the spiritual potency of the Lord is manifested in three phases: the internal or spiritual potency, the marginal potency, which consists of the living entities, and the external potency, known as Maya Shakti. We must understand that in each of these three phases, the original spiritual potencies of pleasure, eternity, and knowledge remain intact. When the potencies of spiritual pleasure and knowledge are both bestowed upon the conditioned souls, the conditioned souls can escape the clutches of the external potency, Maya, which acts as a cover, obscuring one's spiritual identity. When freed, the living entity awakens in Krishna consciousness and engages in devotional service with love and affection. Om Jnanatini Rantasya Dinanjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tathati Shapadatikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavascha Sri Rupam Shavrajatam Shagana Raghunatham Vitamstam Sativam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamstra He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakopitarubhyascha Kripasindhobhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Antaranga chit shakti, tatasta jeev shakti, bahiranga maya, tine kore prema bhakti. Purasya Shakti Vividaya Truyate, the personality of Godhead has multifarious energies. Purasya Shakti Vividaya Truyate. The Lord is not without energy. The conception of the Absolute Truth without energy is impersonal. Or the conception that the Absolute Truth is only energy is also impersonal. Energy means there must be some source of energy. When you have the energy and the energetic source, then you have an intelligible reality. Otherwise, the picture doesn't make very much sense. We have so many varieties, and that implies the application of various energies acting in various ways. So the energetic source is the personality of Godhead. The source of everything, aham sarvasya prabhubho, mata sarva pravartate. Everything comes from Krishna, sarva karana karana. So these energies are under Krishna's control, and they're defined, distinguished in three categories. Actually, Krishna's energy is one, but manifested in different ways, just as electricity is one, but is manifest in refrigeration or in heating. Vishnu Shakti Parapurukta Kshetra Gyatya Tata Para Avidya Sarmakam Karma Sangyamya Tritiya Shakti Vishnu. The Vishnu Shakti is all transcendental, but it's manifested in three ways. As the internal energy, Antaranga Shakti, as the external energy, Bahiranga Shakti, and as the marginal energy, Tatastha Shakti, or Jiva Shakti. The internal energy is the superior energy. And the living entity is also superior. But because he's in a marginal position, he can be overcome by the Maya Shakti, Avidya Karma Sangyanya, Karma Sangyanya, Tritiya Shakti Vishuddha. Under the influence of the material energy, the living entity is bewildered and bound to material activities, work. Avidya, he's in ignorance, and Karma Sangha. He's engaged in working hard for maintaining himself or working hard for happiness, although his actual position is to be constitutionally happy. Avidya, this is ignorance. Why work so hard to obtain happiness from a source where happiness is not to be found, when happiness is already there without our having to work for it? This is avidya, or ignorance. Now all of these energies are constitutionally engaged in Krishna's service. The internal energy is always engaged in the service of the Lord. The external energy is also carrying out the orders of the Lord. It's jan rupam api yasya chajeshtate sa govindamadi purusham tamam. And Maya is working under Krishna's direction, Narajak Shena Prakriti Suryate Satyarajma, carrying out the orders of Krishna. So she's also engaged in devotional service. And the vast majority of the marginal living entities are also engaged in devotional service. Only some small number look away from Krishna, turn away from Krishna, and try to enjoy independently, misusing their tiny independence. They're called the conditioned souls. But when the knowledge potency and pleasure-giving potency are bestowed on the living, the conditioned soul, they can also become liberated souls and also be engaged in devotional service. Shadvidha Aisharya Prabhur Chitshakti Vilash Hena Shakti Nahiman Paramad Sahas. In his spiritual potency, the Supreme Lord enjoys six kinds of opulences. You do not accept this spiritual potency, and this is due to your great impudence. Purport: the Supreme Personality of Godhead is full with six opulences. All of these potencies are on the transcendental platform. To understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as impersonal and devoid of potencies is to go completely against the Vedic information. Prasya Shakti Vividaya Shri, the Lord has variegated energies. This is the statement of the Upanishads. So, to make the Lord devoid of potencies, the Lord has six potencies: beauty, knowledge, and so on. Six opulences. And to deny this is to strip the Lord of his actual potencies. That's not possible. It's just one imagines that the Lord has no this, the Lord has no that, the Lord has no form, no qualities, no names. So this is contrary, the Lord says, to the Vedic conclusion. Mayadhisha Mayavash Ishre Jivebed Hena Jive Isharsaha Kaha Ta Abhed. The Lord is the master of the potencies, and the living entity is the servant of them. That's the difference between the Lord and the living entity. However, you declare that the Lord and the living entity are one and the same. Purport: the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, by nature, the master of all potencies. By nature, the living entities, being infinitesimal, are always under the influence of the Lord's potencies. According to the Mundaka Upanishad, Dva Suparna Sayuja Sakaya Samanam Vriksha Parishashvajate Tayoranya Pipalam Svadvati Anashnananyo Pichakshashiti Samane Vrikshe Purusho Nimagno Nishaya Shochati Muhyamana Drishtam Yada Pashyat Janyamisham Asya Mahimanam Eti Vita Shokaha. The Mundaka Upanishad completely distinguishes the Lord from the living entities. The living entity is subjected to the reactions of fruitive activity, whereas the Lord simply witnesses such activity and bestows the results. According to the living entity's desires, he is wandering from one body to another and one planet to another under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma. However, when the living entity comes to his senses by the mercy of the Lord, he is awarded devotional service. Thus he is saved from the clutches of Maya. At such a time he can see his eternal friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and become free from all lamentation and hankering. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nashochati Nakanshati. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahma and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. Thus it is definitely proved that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of all potencies, and that the living entities are always subjected to these potencies. That is the difference between Maya Tisha and Maya Vash. Maya Tisha Maya Vash, Ishre Jive Paid. This is the difference between Ishra and Jiva, between the Lord and the living entity. One is Maya Tisha, and the other is Maya Vash. Maya Tisha means he's the controller of Maya. And Maya Vash, he's under the control of Maya. Completely different. Completely different. The king and the prisoner, or the king and the subject, any subject, are not on the same level. The king is has all the power of the state at his command, and the ordinary citizen is under the power of the state. The police come and arrest the citizen by the order of the king. Or the police protect the citizen by the order of the king. But the police don't arrest the king. The king is the authority for the police, for the army, for tax man, for everyone. So he's not subject to their authority, they're subject to his authority. But if the tax man comes to your door, you can't say, "I order you to leave." You can't order the police or the army, "Go away." They're not under our authority. The police stops you for speeding. You can't say, "Sir, I order you to leave me alone." Oh, what? You can say that. But the police will say, "Just get out of your car." We have no authority in the matter. We're helpless, practically speaking. We have no control. Well, the living being is like that in the material world. We're helpless, avasha. We have no control. No control means helpless. Though we're helpless, we're under the control of Maya, as the waves are washing things here and there, and the things on the waves are just thrown about by the power of the ocean. So we're being tossed around in this material world from one body to another, one lifetime to another. And we have no control over it. We can't say, "I'm going to die at this time, I'm going to be born at this time, I'll be born in this family or this species of life." It's all under superior control. And the Lord is completely in control. Maya Jakshen Prakritis, Suyate Sacharachra. He's the controller of Maya. Maya is working under his. Yes, please, if you haven't already checked your mobiles, please check your mobiles and see that they're off. I think last time I came here, I suggested that something be posted on the door to say that. I think that was a year ago. I think it still hasn't been done. I think the mobiles are still ringing because it hasn't been done. I think even if you posted it, the mobiles would still ring, but maybe there'd be a fighting chance that they wouldn't. I don't think I'll make the suggestion again because it wasn't listened to the first time. So the Lord is the controller of the material energy. If someone even surrenders to the Lord, ma me viye prapajante maya me tam turantite, he becomes freed from the material energy. So how can the Lord be under the material energy? It's not possible. So maya tisha, maya vash, these are two different categories entirely. The Lord, who's the controller of maya, and the living being who's bound hand and foot by Maya. But Hena Jive Ishra Saha Kaha Ta Abhed. You're trying to make it seem as if they're the same. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying to Sarvapama Bhattacharya, you're trying to make, they're so obviously different, and you're trying to make them one. This is unacceptable. Dva Suparna Sayajastakaya. Srila Prabhupada quotes the Mundaka Upanishad, that there are two birds sitting in one tree. Dva means two, not ek. Dva. Two friendly birds sitting in the tree. One is eating the fruit of the tree, and the other is simply witnessing. The eating bird is getting entangled in the actions and reactions of his activities. But the witnessing bird has nothing to do with these things. He's simply watching and giving opportunities for the living entity to turn toward him. When the living entity turns toward Krishna, then his position, his natural position, is restored. Otherwise, as long as he's turning away from Krishna, he remains controlled by the material energy. Gita Shastre Jiva Rupa Shakti Korivani Hena Jive Bhed Koro Ishwarer Shani. In the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity is established as the marginal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet you say that the living entity is completely different from the Lord. Purport. The Brahma Sutra states that according to the principle of Shakti Shakti Matayor Abheda, the living entity is simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Qualitatively, the living entity and the Supreme Lord are one, but in quantity they are different. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, Achintya Bheda Bhed Tattva, the living entity and the Supreme Lord are accepted as one and different at the same time. The living entity is different from the Lord, but he's not completely different. There's oneness also. The Mami Vamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. The Lord declares that the living entities are parts of him. So they're not just independent somethings out there floating someplace in existence. They're integral parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In that sense, they're not different from the Lord, just as the hand is not different from the body. They're one. They're one. But the hand can't claim, I'm the whole body. I'll act independently. The hand has to act in service to the whole body. Then he's an integrated part. Otherwise, he's part, but he doesn't act like a part. Then he's a diseased hand. The hand that doesn't do what the body tells it to do is a diseased hand. It looks like a hand, but it doesn't function like a hand. So it's not in its proper healthy condition. Bhumirapo nilo vayu kam mano bhutir evacha ahankara iti amme binna prakritir ashtatha. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego are my eightfold separated energies. Apareyam itastanyam prakriti vidhi me param. Jiva Bhutam Mahabhaho Yuyedam Taryate Jagat. Besides these inferior energies, which are material, there is another energy, a spiritual energy, and this is the living being, O Mighty Armed One. The entire material world is sustained by the living entities. purport, verses 104 and 164 and 165 are quotations from the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord describes his energies, first the material energy, in eight categories, five gross energies, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and three subtle energies, mind, intelligence, and false ego. But then, beyond these, higher than these, transcendental to these energies, is the living being who's struggling with the material elements and sustaining them also. This body is sustained by the presence of spirit. So the Dharyate Jagat, he's maintaining things by his presence. The whole world is going on because of the presence of the living entities. But the living entities are struggling, trying to exploit the resources of the material world. Ishrer Sri Vigraha Sachid Anandakar She Vigrahe Kahashatva Gunair Vikar. The transcendental form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is complete in eternity, cognizance, and bliss. However, you describe this transcendental form as a product of material goodness. This is the Mayavadis. They honor the form of the Lord by saying that it's a product of the sattva-gun of material nature. Actually, it's an insult. The Lord's body is not a product of material nature. But they try to give that interpretation. The Absolute is impersonal, but he takes a personal form by connection with material energy. And this is an offense to the Lord. Sri Vigraha Jena Mani Sheta Pashanti Adrishya Asprishya Shehoi Yamadandi. One who does not accept the transcendental form of the Lord is certainly an agnostic. Such a person should be neither seen nor touched. Indeed, he is subject to be punished by Yamaraj. Purport. According to the Vedic instructions, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has his eternal transcendental form, which is always blissful and full of knowledge. Impersonalists think that material refers to the forms within our experience, and that spiritual refers to an absence of form. However, one should know that beyond this material nature is another nature, which is spiritual. Just as there are material forms in this material world, there are spiritual forms in the spiritual world. This is confirmed by all Vedic literature. The spiritual forms in the transcendental world have nothing to do with the negative conception of formlessness. The conclusion is that a person is an agnostic when he does not agree to worship the transcendental form of the Lord. The Mayavadis know that the forms of this world are full of misery, temporary, full of ignorance. So they want to achieve freedom from this Maya. And their idea is that the opposite of these material forms is no form. They simply take what they have the bad experience of, draw a big X through it, and that's their reality. Now there's material form, get rid of material form, and then you have the truth. What is the truth? Their idea of truth is a negative conception. It's a negative conception. Just if I say this wall is not blue, that doesn't tell you what the wall is. It's just telling you what it's not. So to say that the Absolute Truth is not material, that's all right. In the absolute, there's no existence of material form. That's all right. But they think that means no form, because they have no positive information of the Absolute Truth. They're unaware or unable to digest the existence of transcendental form. Because they're addicted to this way of understanding by negating the material. Yes, by negating the material. The opposite of material form is spiritual form, not no form. Actually, at the present moment, all systems of religion deny the worship of the form of the Lord due to ignorance of his transcendental form. That's true within our experience. We know that there are religious paths where they worship God, but they're vehement on this point that God has no form. In their places of worship, there's no form, not even a hint of a form. If there's a picture, if there's a statue, if there's anything, then they are very strongly against that. No form. Similarly, there are many other religious paths where they have an idea that there's God, but finally their idea of God is formless. There's no conception of the form of the Lord. So they have a God who's a person, but who's formless. He's supposed to be all-merciful or all-powerful or all of this or all compassion, but without a form. He's a person, it seems, but a formless person. This is a very unusual idea. Or let's just say it's a very different idea from the Vedic idea. In the Vedic idea, that God has mercy, God has compassion, God has power, God has everything, because God is a person. And he has his personal form also. Therefore, the living beings also have form, like Father, like Son. The first class materialists, the Mayavadis, just see, they're not even counted as spiritualists here, first class materialists. Imagine five specific imaginary, specific forms of the Lord. But when they try to equate the worship of such imaginary forms with bhakti, they are immediately condemned. The Lord Sri Krishna confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, Namam duskritano mudha prapajante naratama. Bereft of real knowledge due to agnosticism, the Mayavadi philosophers should not even be seen by the devotees of the Lord, nor touched, because those philosophers are liable to be punished by Yamaraj, the superintendent demigod, who judges the activities of sinful men. The Mayavadi agnostics wander within this universe in different species of life due to their non-devotional activities. Such living entities are subjected to the punishments of Yamaraj. Only the devotees who are always engaged in the service of the Lord are exempt from the jurisdiction of Yamaraj. So this is the Panchopashana system. The Mayavadis sometimes say that you can worship Vishnu, Durga, Ganesh, Surya. One more. Vishnu, Surya, Ganesh, Durga, Shiva, Lord Shiva, five forms. And it doesn't really matter which one you choose, because these are all just sort of stepping stones to the Absolute Truth. These are like crutches. They're learning aids. They're helpful devices, helpful objects to meditate on. so that you can go beyond them to the real truth, which is impersonal. And so it doesn't matter whether you worship Lord Shiva or Krishna or Durga or whoever, because ultimately that's not what you're aiming at. You're not really devoting yourself to that deity. You're devoting yourself to that which lies beyond the deity, that which the deity merely represents. That's their idea, that these forms may be worshipped for some time, but finally one has to go beyond them to get to the formless. So this is another offensive idea. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahmarudrari Daivatai Samatvenaiva Vikshetah Yapashandi Bhavetritam. This Pashandi word is there again. Infidel is another translation. Pashandi is an agnostic, an infidel, a no good thing, a person that you don't want to see or touch, asprishya, adrishya, a person who should just be stayed away from. Mayavadi Pasha. Shunilehoi Sarvanaj. Certainly one should not hear from the Mayavadis. That will be very harmful for devotional service. One should hear from the devotees of the Lord who are actually engaged in devotional service. Knowing Gyatva Bhutada Magyam, knowing that the personality of Godhead is the source of everything. All right, are there some questions?
When you say the Mayavadis say that you worship those five forms, what basis are they speaking on? Is there any?
As far as I know, Shankaracharya sort of systematized things. People are worshipping, 33 million different demigods, and he reformed the matters and brought it down to these five. That's the understanding that I've heard. He basically brought it down to these five and said, choose one as your Ishta Devata. And it really doesn't matter which one you choose, because they're all worshipable representations of the superior reality. Is that okay?
Sometimes in our offices we come across...
Excuse me? Slower, please.
In our offices, environment, we come across people from other faiths. Mm. And sometimes they question us about our religion. Mm. So normally we try to tell them about that action has called reaction and rebirth. But can we try to preach them about personality of Godhead?
Sure. Why not?
Then what is the most strongest argument I need to put forward to prove?
The most strongest? That... There's so many arguments, not one most strongest. You're a person, your father is a person, his father. So how do you come to the original father as being impersonal? Why should the personality, why should God be less than the living entity? Why should he be formless? You may not know what his form is, that's another point. But he can't be he shouldn't be formless. Why formless? That's formless means impersonal. If God has mercy, if God has compassion, if God has power, why should God not have form? What is the problem?
But when we say God is formless, what is the destination of the living entity who believes in formless?
Depends on lots of times they believe in formless, but their activities are simply activities in the modes of passion and ignorance. So then they take their next body according to their activities, according to the modes of nature they've acquired. Anything else?
Shankaracharya, they also worship the forms.
The followers of Shankaracharya may also worship some form, but their worship is time serving, Prabhupada said. That I'll serve you for some time, and then I'll push you out of the way. They give sometimes the example of a ladder. You use a ladder to climb a wall, and when you reach the top of the wall, you kick down the ladder. You don't need it anymore. But that's their bhakti. They serve whatever deity with great devotion, only so that they can become one with the force that lies beyond the deity, and then the deity doesn't matter anymore. That's their, really their position. Prabhupada one time was walking in Mayapur with some disciples, and he came to like a little ditch, and Baba Ananda took his arm and, you know, helped Prabhupada across the ditch, and then Prabhupada pushed him away. And, you know, Baba Ananda was startled, you know, like, what did I do? Then Prabhupada said, this is the Mayavadis.
Very simple, classic example.
Yes. In most of these Mayavadis, or even if you take Sikhism or Buddhism, but they still worship, they worship the Guru. So how is it?
Yeah.
So it's a form of personal worship.
Yeah, they're worshipping, they're respecting some person. Actually, every place you'll find that they're worshipping some form.
Yes.
The one religion which totally rejects the idea of worshipping any form, all of its members bow down 5 times a day to a particular stone in a particular part of the world. So even they worship a form. They worship a book, which is paper and ink, in a particular form. So if you say, well, this is just paper and ink, it's just material elements, and so we're going to flush it down the toilet, well, there'll be a riot. Because somehow they accept that God is present in the form of this book. So even the most rigid rejectors of form wind up accepting form anyway. They're accepting form anyway. They're worshipping a particular geographic location or a particular book or a particular prophet also. So they can't get around form. And maybe they might even say, no, we don't say God has no form. I don't know what they'll say. But in any case, there's not a clear picture or a clear understanding of the Lord as having form, or understanding what the Lord's form is. And that's their Vedic knowledge. The Jewish religion also, there's no form. But the same thing, they're worshipping a book. There are many examples that could be given from their own scriptures. Something else? Okay. Thank you all very much.